But if you are a woman with the mother wound and are self-aware about it, we would love to hear from you. Because, wow, women with a mother wound can be really, really mean until they figure out the reason why they're being so, I don't even know what the word is. But the mother wound is a tough one. I'm glad I have the father wound. And you're pretty lucky. I would say that you, I mean, if you have one, it's the mother wound. But I think you're pretty lucky to have pretty decent parents. I think our
situation is much different, though, than a lot of others that actually have those problems. Because
we can segue now into why, you know, if you've ever, because I watched my mother get her, you know, abused by your grandfather. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, professed undying love. So the confusion of what love actually was in my growing up, you know, was
to some extent
different.
I do feel bad for Isabel, but I did know what love is. But that's because Jacob and I got to see that side of you and Dad when you actually did.
Yeah, I still love your dad.
Well, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, seeing it, like...
Yeah.
Like, even though you guys had your own bullshit, you still tried your best to keep us out of it.
Which was a detriment, too, because it's hard knowing... It had to be an extremely hard for you kids to have parents that you never seen really fight.
And I mean, then, yeah, towards the end, that was, right. Like, and at my growing point.
Then we weren't together anymore. So yeah. I can see that... In comparison to maybe friends who, you know, were divorced and like, my mom and dad hate one another. And it's different when alcohol comes between a relationship.
Right.
I would like to, you know, preface that. But
yeah,
as we get further in our podcast, we can really dedicate a lot of time to this and have your siblings on to be mm-hmm. able to have Isabel talk about her perspective, because each one of you... And I don't care what family you're in, how many siblings you have, in a family environment, every one of you is walking out with a different story, a different perception.
Oh, I mean, hands down, one thing I will say is, like, although whatever you and Dad were going through and, like, Jacob was, like, growing up, I guess, he got that full mm-hmm. effect of Mom and Dad.
Yeah, and it's such an icky situation because, of course, if I could go back and do it all different, of course I would. It didn't come with a workbook.
Yeah,
and if
I don't think it ever
did. And if it did at that time, I wouldn't have read it. I still would have done it my own way.
Yeah,
you know, the hard way, because that's
funny how that works. Yeah, Miss Pisces.
Right.
Yeah. But
I'm glad that, you know, we're not two people that hate each other. You know, when we get into more about when Mom talks about her second marriage, that she doesn't even count.
Because, that definitely...
You know, that's different. Your dad and I were together damn near 25 years. That's totally different. And when you hear me speak, and we're getting ready to, like, shift into narcissism and certain personality traits that we're going to talk about today, I would like to clarify that my ex-husband, my children's father, is not in any way the narcissist that I'm talking about. He had a different issue.
Love that man.
Yeah. So alcoholism, we'll maybe touch upon one day. But in no way would I want anybody in our conversations, you know, when, oh, she's talking about a narcissist, that I don't, you know.
Well, I mean, hands down right away, if they make any assumptions of, like, shutting you and Dad down. I mean, I would shut that shit down.
Yeah, that's why I asked you, how many episodes ago do you even want to talk about your dad in any of these conversations? Because obviously it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies.
Well, yeah, I know that. Obviously. I mean, I caught on quick at a young age that was the case.
Right, and, you know, if your dad ever sat in the podcast chair, you know, as far as closure, like, oh, we were really young. Why did you do that? I mean, have you ever thought about it, or why you threw away 20 years of whatever for Bud Light?
That's a teddy bear. I don't think he would.
I know he would never sit in the chair.
No.
He's so non-confrontational.
No.
That's never gonna happen. And nor would I ever ask him to, which is,
Yeah,
weird.
damn
But
that motherfucker for not being non-confrontational.
the gloves will be off in Mom's written word, the book. When I get to the book's stage.
Yeah, but I think that's something that Dad will like always recognize. Like he knows that.
No, I know. And that's, I love the
The
fact
way up.
that I, well, all the shit, and this is really hard to say as an abused woman. It's really hard, especially when you're young, to have a man profess how much they love you, and then they beat you up. And then your dad, because he was an alcoholic, never remembered what he did to me. So therefore, it never happened. And you get 20 years of that under your belt, you're living with a fucking ghost. You have no idea who they are. In my mind, like, there is no way this man loves me, or he wouldn't touch me. He wouldn't do or say the things. And luckily that faded, and that was only like the first 8 years, and you were then you came along, and then it was a whole
So that
he
will
quit drinking.
be another thing we'll have to talk about, because Dad has opened up to me about, and I will say this to you off camera, but
Well, duh. Not with just your dad.
he has opened up about, stuff like that with.
And I imagine it's hard for him.
It is.
But imagine being me with no closure.
I don't know.
None. And then to go on and be abused more and more and more by other men. Then it's like, you're the one that's fucked up, Jen. It's you. You're the problem. And my problem is I am capable of loving a monster. Why? Because my father was one. When your dad is not the nicest person in the world, but you want him to be, and you're afraid of your father, but at the same time, he is your protector, your provider, your everything, and you watch a man beat up your mom, or you watch a man, and I love you. I love you. Wow. You wanna raise a confused person.
I mean,
Wow.
hindsight, that does explain your pattern. I mean,
Do you think I ever deserve to get beat up? Even though
not.
you love your dad, do you think that he ever had a right to put his hands on me?
I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying I hate the fact that your generation went through stuff like that.
It's not just my generation. There's people going through it even,
But I'm
now.
saying where it was more behind closed doors and you could get away with it then. Yeah,
Well,
it's
that's the
yours
whole
and Dad's
premise of my
generation.
podcast.
I mean, yeah, why do you think? I mean.
Years of keeping it inside. Everyone, y'all, the reason that I this podcast is not out of spite. This podcast is not out of retaliation. This podcast is my final leg of healing. My creative baby of wow, I did not deserve that. But I learned a lot of valuable lessons, and it's so funny that this is coming up now because I have my very first boyfriend beat my ass regularly, and by beat my ass, I mean closed fist to the face. What are you looking at, bitch? You're only allowed to look at the ground. He was pumping gas, punched me through the window. Because I looked up from the floorboard. This man is still watching my socials. This man still drives by the childhood home where he once lived with us and beat me up. I get to see him at the gravesides of my brother and my mom and dad down the road where I live. Imagine being 30 plus years past that, and that man's still keeping tabs on you. Clearly, I'm not the one that has a problem loving. I'm dumbfounded that, and now we all went to the same high school. So Kennewood Hills High School, any of y'all, I know you know who this person is. Some of my customers have even came in here, and I'm going to tell you a little story. I don't know if you know how karma works, but it has no timeline. It will catch up to you. And one of the highlights of being here in the town that I grew up in and having a business here, I had a customer come in for a plant. She was bringing up to the hospital for somebody she went to school with. So naturally, I'm curious and asking her because I went to Kennewood Hills High School too. And they're older than me, so I'm about 4 years under them. And she says his name. He got attacked by a pack of dogs at his lawn service, clinging to life because he was attacked by dogs. And I am struck with this. Wow, the karma train finally came in. Because after I found out who she was, and I'm like, wow, I had no idea you knew who he was. Oh, he's such a great guy. So I. One of the posts on the Facebook page that I did that, and John, if you're listening, remember how public I plan on taking this. This is not about retribution. This is about these are real life stories that happened to me and are still continuing to happen to me. So there's that. This is my protective platform where I am setting up a place where we can all tell our truths. And I wholeheartedly invite anyone who is, you can be a self-aware narcissist. You can be self-aware about your shitty behaviors and your shitty programs. Wow, I would love to sit with you. I would love to sit with, and I would, even if he walked in the door right now, I would invite him to sit right down, like I just said with your dad. I'd be like, wow, we're 30 years past it. Can you give me any, I don't know, forethought on why you think you were a monster? Because if you can't tell me in any way, wow, I think I did that because my parents were alcoholics or I didn't feel seen, heard, and valued, so I took it, and my projection on you turned physical. God, I would respect somebody that would say that or have enough self-awareness because I'm capable of loving a monster. That's part of probably the reason why have been an abused woman. But at the same time, I've been an lippy. You're like,
Well,
no, you're not going to do that to me.
that's my point. I'm saying your generation specifically is the one that has like the biggest wound
You
of,
think?
oh yeah.
Oh, I think we pretty much wounded you guys too with our wounds.
To an extent, but I feel like
I think the generational
this is the
curses might
highlight of
stop
my
with you guys.
generation because
Yeah.
this is what Ben and I
Breaking
talk
the
about.
generational curse.
Yes, and
Yeah,
this is
I
what Ben
think
and I
so.
talk about a lot is not only do we learn from what you guys went through, but I feel like my generation and Ben's generation, I'm pretty sure we're in the same generation, we take the most respectful pity as to what has happened to our parents. Like we
So let's back up. Explain to me what full pity is. What is it? Because I don't want you pitying me. Judas Priest, what the hell was that?
don't know. Something knocked over.
Well, let's just see, shall we? Oh my God, that crash at Aunt Michelle's.
Crash, go boom.
I wonder what happened. Well, buddy, not sure, but. I guess.
No, respectful pity as in your children. Like, you forgive your father for the things that he's done?
Well, let me tell you.
We'll just answer the question,
You're,
yes or
yeah, oh,
no.
absolutely.
You do forgive him?
Oh, absolutely. Because here's the thing. I think it was Gary Zukav. I don't even know what talk show back in the early 2000s it was on. It might have been Oprah. When I heard that unforgiveness is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die, really changed things for me, that particular quote. And it was, my dad would keep going no matter what, whether I forgave him or not. So to be clear, I forgave Grandpa for myself. I did not forgive Grandpa for him. Does that make sense? It was, I can understand and sympathize with the way that you were brought up and you were not given the tools for whatever reason, and and be done with that. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been able to like go on if I carried and harbored that resentment and hatred
So
into
you
this
forgave
age
Grandpa for yourself.
for myself. Yeah, for sure.
See, I guess that's where my generation is opposite.
But Grandpa didn't want forgiveness. Grandpa, as stubborn as he is, justified who he was and why he was the way that he was. There, he did not feel like he in any way needed to change who he was.
See, like to some extent, as his grandchild. That's pretty fucked up to me, though.
Oh, hence the father wound.
So it
See,
surprises me that you have some sort of forgiveness.
yeah, but it's not for him, it's for me. I forgive the fact that he was not. Actually, it's hard because, again, when you are raised, and thank God for my mom, because
I was
you
gonna
know,
say,
my
I
mom,
guess you did
if I
you.
didn't have a good mother, that would have been a really rough, situation. But Grandpa wasn't always. It's extremely hard to, as a child,
Hence the wound. Yeah, I can
yeah, and
tell.
when your parent, who happens to favor some, when you grow up, when they tell you what a monster is, you have this picture of this grotesque looking entity. Well, I'm here to tell you, monsters in real life, they're not hiding under your bed. They are your family members, your friends, acquaintances that do not have your best interests at heart because they have something within them that prevents them, or they're just not capable of it. So if you can find an acceptance, which acceptance and forgiveness are very closely related, if you can accept the fact that they are the way that they are and not take it personally, it's much easier. I did not find that until later in life, but your grandpa and I had other issues about religion, debating Santa Claus. I mean, certain things at a very early age where the astrology part, where mom, because you were a bit gifted. We're all gifted here. I don't know what to tell you. Some people remember it, some people don't. But your grandfather thought I was the spawn of Satan, which I kind of was, because he was my
Grandpa
dad.
was also a Scorpio.
No, I know he was, through and through, all the way. All the way. But Scorpio has such a big, loving heart, and I think that w played a role in Grandpa's detriment. But they also like to be
I was
validated.
going to say, you would say that would resonate some of that bipolar-esque energy from
How can you
Grandpa.
not grow up? I think we're so quick to put labels on it. So if you wanted to
That's
put a
the most logical
bipolar
thing I can think of is like
with a label or a
Grandpa would go back and
diagnosis.
forth, love bombing to abuse.
Grandpa Monger wholeheartedly was a covert narcissist. Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. But that is a defense mechanism to the way he was raised. So, and here's where an empath and a narcissist in the first formative 7 years of your life, where you're developing the most important stages, one's going to veer off and be more empathetic, and the other personality is going to veer off and be more on the narcissistic spectrum. And I wish that I had all the answers other than just my own experiences with them and having family members like Uncle Josh, they claimed was bipolar, which
Well, I
chemical
think to an
imbalance.
extent, all of y'all have some sort of
Well, to be fair, that, you know, for
bipolar
5 years
tendencies.
I was in the therapy chair and I had asked the question numerous times, I am in no way bipolar.
I'm not saying you guys are all bipolar, but you give the tendencies of.
Oh yeah, well, when you grow up in you know, a certain, I think we all could be labeled something. You know, if you, and even if you grew up with the most perfect parents, is that preparing you for the real world outside of that, you know, family home? Like, because I can tell you part of my issue and why I get really sometimes resentful is I want my energy returned back to me. I'm a good person. And I, you know, give really good attention and I provide a really safe space for anybody, stranger, somebody, kids, for the most part, especially now at this age. But if you cannot take the mask off in my presence, I really don't, I don't want to exchange energy. I want the real deal or I don't want it at all. And the real deal, even if you are a real deal monster, I'm going to respect you a whole hell of a lot more if you have been self-reflective, like, God damn, I wonder why I do that. Or why do I want to make it my mission to talk fear into this person's plans while they're gushing about their vision? Or you can pick up on little cues of insecure people. Not everything needs a diagnosis, in my opinion. I believe that the word narcissism right now, it's just another trending buzzword. That's why I don't even hashtag it anymore, narcissistic abuse survivors or any of it, because I feel like we've all dealt in some capacity with that challenging personality trait, for sure. You know, you can develop a protective layer and it can be seen as narcissism. I think we all have a level of narcissism in our personality toolbox. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Well, to backtrack to like the pity, the respectful pity, at
What did you
least
call it, though?
I respectfully
Oh,
pity
that's it. Okay.
you guys. Not only has it allowed me to like really turn it over into the generation I will be raising, but knowing me at the same time, and I'm sure Ben would feel the same way, at least for some of the stuff that he has dealt with.
You mean from his time in the military and certain other things
Nope,
that could
family,
oh.
like his parents and stuff like that. But I think more specifically me, I forgive both within myself, but I forgive my parents.
Well, I appreciate that because it didn't come with a handbook. And
Well, no, it's like
as a
a
parent, though, I would, as your mother, do you or can you see, and I'm not saying I was winning any Mother of the Year awards
I
because,
mean,
again, it didn't come with a book in certain situations. Like, God damn, I could have handled that a lot better. And
neither of
mom
you
does cringe
were.
a lot. But so, would you say I passed away tomorrow, would you be able to say fully, because in your forgiveness, that my mother did the very best that she could possibly do with the tools that she was given?
I wouldn't be able to say a word for both of you. But
Yeah, you could. Like, yeah,
no,
they
I'm saying
did.
like there'd be too many. I would not.
I know it's tough to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this morning, I'm at the age where my mom found out she was dying, and then she lived 8 years and just suffered 8 years. Imagine knowing for 8 years could be my last day. And then the medical system's pumping just poison in you that makes you sick and you have no quality of life.
What were her hugs like?
Honestly, Sonia, I can't even pull up
She looked like a lady that gave the best hug.
She was an amazing lady. However,
We'll have to tell the story of my name.
yeah, we will, because that's a whole different podcast show. That's a whole different. This one's getting emotional enough.
Raw. It's real.
Yeah. It's really weird because, I get to sleep in the same room where she died. It's different. I did not have my mom long enough to be able to answer that question about the hugs.
Like even when you were a kid.
I don't remember. I don't. I think being, and this is the honest to God truth, I think just being in my mother's presence was a hug.
That's nice.
Because she did provide a very, and I'd like to say, and I don't think I know I have that quality, that I am able to provide that space because I had her as my mother. Where not only are, and here's the worst part, I'm grandpa and I'm grandma. So my intimidating, you look mean side,
Grandpa.
yeah. But the people who take my kindness for weakness
People pleasing,
is grandma. Oh, I don't people please anymore.
Well, no, I'm saying like the mentality of
Because
it.
that fucked me. That's one that you can get rid of right now if you have it. There's no reason for it. There's no reason it's face value or I don't want you anywhere near me. I'm not gonna try to be something I'm not so you like me, obviously. And I think that's why where we're at now, especially like ex-family, your dad's side, I imagine it's really, really hard to look at this Jen knowing the Jen I was 10, 20 years ago. Like, who the fuck is that? But we're not here to stay the same. We're here to evolve. We're here to level up and do and learn. This is a learning realm. And I think often how grateful I am that my life lessons have been revolved around romantic pursuits, that my dad never fiddled with my diddle. I don't there we are all given and the wound is the gateway. That is where your self-perception, your self-awareness, and all the fun things that I think that you need to prepare yourself for and have enable to break those generational curses. Now, one of the young gals in the book club, I do struggle a wee bit, I find in your generation, where if you are in extensive therapy because your great 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 grandma was raped and she was Indian, or I think that's great, but I feel like that is a deflective. I don't feel like you should be in therapy for generational curses for a grandma four generations ago, and you're not.
See, to me, if that is something that
That's
is
happening.
real,
It's happening. I would love your perspective at your age. Because if you've not had any life experiences for yourself and you are sitting in the therapy chair for your great, great, great Indian grandmother who was raped, well, wow, you, wow.
to me, and I don't know, people can say what they want.
They're gonna.
They're gonna. To me, being white privilege, but also having a lot of percentages of other things.
No, we don't want to be vague here. Spit it out. You mean being part Mexican?
Mexican, and what are we also?
I have never been confused for a white person in my life,
But I'm
which is so
saying,
hard for me because when people look at me right away, and on top of it, my name's Jennifer Lopez, but even before the last name before Mary and Dad. And I was just talking to Alabama John last night about this conversation because Grandpa Mongar was very adamant about mixing races. It was a no. I mean, a big fucking no. Growing up, he was the whatever his programming was. So I showed up to Father's Day dinner with a brand new tattoo and a Mexican boyfriend wearing his white beater tank top. Grandma Mongar loved him immediately. Immediately. And when I met your dad's family, we show up, and this is, I could do a whole podcast on just that day. And this is before cell phones. Barb and Marty, there was a party at Barb and Marty's house. And they lived on the corner of College and Leonard in a house. And there was a party store, cattywampus from the house. And he had given me directions. Well, I lived a pretty sheltered life. So I, what, you know, from Grandpa Mongar, even having some freedom. And then I met your dad at Riverside Park. He invited me to this party because he stood me up on our first date. That definitely will have to be a podcast episode.
Oh, geez.
And I'm calling the number, and somebody answers, and I can hear that this is just this major part.
Loud as
Loud!
fuck.
Like, and oh my God, my dad would kill me if he knew I was going to this party.
It's just a
And
family party.
his family Latino party. Well, I call, and I hear whistling, and there are all these people now standing in this front yard waving, because I'm on a payphone across the street. And they're like, "We're over here." So I drive over there, and I will never forget walking into that living room. There's Gina and Karen. They're all giving me the stink eye, like, "Who the fuck is this bitch?" But I will never forget walking into that party. And in the first time in mom's life, I was around black people. I was around white people with blonde hair, Mexicans, and mixed races for the first time in my life. And it was the most welcoming closeness of family I had ever felt, ever, with your Grandpa Mongar or your Grandpa Lopez. Mija, he was singing about you in the shower. You know, and having just all of that was like, wow, I think I want to be a part of this. Because there were so many different people and different age groups, and just so, they were all just so, and granted, they were all drinking, but they were all so close, the kids and everybody. It was like, wow, I could be a part of this. And I knew right away that, yeah. Well, the first day I met your dad, I went home and Uncle Josh decided to steal the family sedan again. It made it to Three Rivers before he got caught. And Aunt Lee and I were asleep. I think Grandma had just gotten a new puppy. And she was gone. I don't know where what had happened, but Grandpa woke one of us up and said, You gotta come with me. We gotta go pick up your brother. And I'm like, I ain't gonna be me. I was drinking today, Dad. You know, so Aunt Lee had to do it. And
How old was Uncle Josh?
see, he probably was 20, maybe 20 years old. Wasn't I know he wasn't 21 yet. Because I'm just 21. He's 3 years younger than me. He was still in high school. He had to have been still in high school. And Lee, Aunt Lee says to me, "Where were you?" I said, "I was with my future husband."
That's funny.
So I knew the minute I met your dad that we were one day going to be married, even though all the things, even like that, you said you know his ex-girlfriend, all the things, because even Grandma Lopez did not want me to be the one. So I was up against a lot back
And
in the day.
to backtrack to that too, to therapy for generations of something,
Oh yeah.
for being
There
a
is legit modalities in therapist's office that, hey, let me help you. Exactly. Let me help you break the generational curses that, keep you bound to
I'm
Bed
not
Bath and all the
knocking
Funkos.
therapy for
I'm
people,
not
but
either.
there's an extent to
I'm not
those
either.
who are
But if
con
you've not if
people.
you're 20, let's say, all right, you're 22, and you have not had any real life experiences other than maybe a breakup with a boy.
That don't apply to
You've
me.
not experienced true loss of a loved one, or, and I don't want to discount anybody's life experiences, no matter how old you are. I find it a little peculiar, unless you're going to, like, say, a person that's going to read your past lives, like to say, who you were in a past life. Mom has been burned at the stake and pretty much or drowned in all of my past lives as a high priestess, Indian healer, or all my lives, but I actually went and had that reading done. If you, and I'm not saying, I love this young girl dearly, she's a phenomenal artist. I just have a small problem with, it's almost like you want to take on this, I
Booby
don't
trap.
know, this ick and work it out for somebody who's been dead for four generations.
Yeah, what I will say is being a good mix of a little bit of everything, not only having what people have a problem with white privilege, not only having the white privilege in me, but also being those who part of a family that don't have that white privilege, I guess. So being Mexican, and what'd you say, we're part Indian. That sounds a little bit enabling to me.
What do you mean?
Going to therapy for something that you weren't even a part of, but you're.
I think it's attention seeking.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
Yeah.
enabling.
Well, what are they? What is a therapist enabling that you actually are fucked up because you've got a grandma that was four generations ago? Because let's face it,
So
four
I was
generations
going to say,
ago, our
unless.
grandmas were not real. I mean, most of them were not treated with the highest respect.
No.
No matter what, no matter what. Level of privilege you grew up in, respect.
But I mean, the big thing too you have to remember is in this day and age, you put a color behind it and.
Doesn't even have to be a color because I write a little bit about pretty privilege, and I'm sure you know a little bit about this. Because God forbid you're chubby and pretty, too, on top of it. There is such a thing as pretty privilege, and one of the chapters in my book is it's titled Being Pretty Kept me fucked, not fed. There's a major difference, especially in romantic relationships if you're easy on the eyes. And it's hard for mom to talk about it because in my adolescence, I was 300 pounds and what would be considered not pretty, but I had a pretty face. So it was, boys wanted to talk to me in secret, but could never be seen talking to me because I was fat. Your generation is totally different because. I think there's a lot less fat shaming and a lot less, and maybe not. I mean, maybe not. Bullying is bullying. But I think it's a lot more sociably acceptable these days to be on the thicker side
I may have not have
than.
been fat like you were in high
I
school.
know you get it.
But I had the same thing, and I feel like a lot of women.
But you also had teeth there.
That's what I'm saying. Mine
Yeah.
was my teeth. There were a
Yeah.
lot of boys on
Yeah.
the football team that
Yeah.
wanted to talk to me in secret and want stuff from me in secret, but
Yeah, but could
in
never be.
public, but could never
Yeah,
talk to
because
me
yeah,
because they were too cool.
yeah,
Yeah.
I totally identify with that, and that's why I invite any of the Kenilworth Hills classmates to come sit in my
I
chair.
even tell my husband, I was like, honey, I don't think you would talk to me if you like if we were in high school together.
No, I'm a late bloomer. I
I
definitely
mean,
met
yeah, same.
men that are like see my fat pictures. I'm like, whoa. How long ago was
But then I
that?
was like, well,
Or
honey, I probably would have like dated you. I go, no, you probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, but that could circle back to a whole different type of podcast episode where we are heavily programmed.
To assume.
No, well, that too. Assumption is the motherfucker of all time. Let me tell you, if you're not asking for clarity, you're getting what you deserve. I'm sorry. If you're just going to have an assumption and run with it and you're not going to ask questions, then, no, that story you're telling yourself is going to be true. But we could do a full podcast on not just bullying, but what, and again, could be passed down, could be something that they heard their dad say,
Yeah.
in any situation. or that overheard their parents say something about a fat friend, or you know, which could easily be, oh boy, I can't be involved with that.
Right.
But at the same time, I could literally feel the hearts of the boys in school that teased me, that they were doing it.
To represent themselves,
Well,
to
for them
have.
to have their own specific attention grab or their own. It's definitely a learned behavior. So if you don't have any grace for somebody that maybe comes across plainly, especially your generation of girls in the makeup trends that are right now.
I don't wear makeup.
No, I know, and you're drop dead gorgeous, even if you do or if you didn't. I'm glad that you girls are very comfortable in your natural skin. I have girls that I went to school with, and again, I would love for you ladies to sit in my podcast chair,
That still
the ones
kills it.
that get their husbands have never seen them without makeup on. Could you imagine going to bed with your makeup on still?
I mean,
Like, what is
sometimes if I'm
it
going out and I do put a little bit of makeup on, yeah, I'm too lazy to take it
you're.
off, but I'm not
Well,
like.
that's different. They are specifically with the imprintation of, oh my God, I cannot let this man see my real face.
What are you doing?
After how 30 years of marriage? You think he gives a fuck?
You mean to
You're
tell me?
fat now.
You mean to
Your
tell me you
makeup
don't rip
is.
ass in front of him either? There are bitches that do that.
All right, first of all, I have never farted in front
Why?
of a romantic partner.
Why?
Maybe it's programming. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but I have not, like, on
Then
purpose.
you are pretty feminine like that, because unlike me, all.
We're from completely different
Honey,
generations.
mama, I'm telling you right now,
You burped on our last
I
episode.
burped in this one too.
Yeah, whatever. But that would have been seen as, I'm not like super, you know, obsessed about it. But if you're seeing those reels where, you know, you're not pooping and farting in front of a new romantic partner. I am appreciative that you are so comfortable in your skin that that has never been a factor for you. I would like to like think that maybe part of your raising had something to do with it. But no, I don't know why I would still be that way.
I have to do this real quick.
Are we still like
Oh,
recording?
we still are.
Is it okay? Because we gotta watch. Like, we don't want this good stuff to the battery to die.
Hello?
I gotta pee.
Hello? I have a question for you.
Fine, go ahead.
Do we poop in front of each other?
That's different.
Why shit, you just poop.
Do we fart on each other?
That's different. So I got a question for you, Ben. So if you both, and you just say that it was the beginning stages of your relationship, and say you were on your, say it was your first date, and Sonya ripped one at the dinner
We
table,
did. That has happened.
at the first date.
First time we have met, yes.
Got to look at it from a different perspective, even if I've seen some gnarly stuff. So something like that is pretty normal. Plus, my mom is.
So you would base your comfortability on how your mom represented herself growing up. So it was okay that Sonya ripped one because your mom made that comfortable for you.
Yeah, like it wasn't, you know, full. Plus, I'm not like, oh my God, you know, oh my God, she's farted. You know, I'm not like that, so.
Did it make you more intrigued about her?
I would say more or less, I would just say, like, yeah, just something normal.
Something to be comfortable with.
Yeah, so it was like, yeah, I can hang out with this chick because she don't mind that she farted.
Was gonna say the first. So he stayed the night at dad's house when we first met, and he like literally shit
In that bathroom that's right
in
there.
the bathroom right there, and was like, "Hey, I have to take a shit." And I was like, "No shame."
Yeah, see, I think that's very important versus what I was getting ready to tell you. Like, I can remember holding my gas in so your dad would never know I
You've
farted.
never farted in front of dad?
I don't think so.
Oh my God,
I
Mama.
don't think so.
I'm more worried if I farted.
And
Problem.
The worst part was that I had heard a story about how after a girl gave birth that excuse me, and then he never wanted to touch her again. So I was petrified that he wouldn't like want me if I was one of those.
I told Ben, I was like, honey, I might shit on the fucking table once I give birth to your children. That's a thing that happens.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, we didn't touch on narcissism all the way, but that sets us up to be able to pick up where we left off next Thursday. Because I do believe that's an important subject.
I agree.
I think they're all important anyway. I think that anything that you and I say, anything that I say with Alabama John, anything, I am hoping anyway that this platform, this Route 37 podcast, certainly paves the way for communication, if anything. Like, whether you have a personality challenging start, like your life experiences, I want to talk to y'all. But what will be very important as we move forward, and as a listener, that we all keep an open mind. We all keep, just be a kind human, that we all have seen some shit. And I love the fact, like, hey, why do you do what you do? Do you ever sit down and ask yourself, why do I feel comfortable farting in front of my husband? Why do I? Which I love that for you guys. That's awesome. Because how
Well,
many years wasted that I held in my gas to the point of painful or not pooping for days? Because I can't let them know I poop. Weird the
that's
shit we do.
wild.
It's so weird. Have you ever seen any of those reels? Like when there's this English chick who, I haven't pooped in 3 days and now he wants to go have coffee and croissants. I love that you're comfortable with that. That's cool.
I think that's
Because I feel
also.
like I'm still going to be that way. No, if I meet a person.
I think I learned real quick that if I don't lay it all out from the get, I would rather lay it all out right then and there rather than discover pet peeves later. Because, like, what if I just held in my fart and then I randomly farted and the person I was with was like, you can't do that in front of me. Like, you can't.
All right, well,
I'd be
the
like,
better
the fuck I can,
okay,
like.
the better question would be, because we all fart, we all pick our nose, we all have those human traits that obviously if you're going to shack up with somebody, that person's gonna know, wow, she's gonna have to poop eventually. Or she has gas on
Well,
occasion.
right. Well, my thing is I'd rather discover if someone had a problem with it now rather than later.
But why as a human would you have a problem with it?
Because there are ridiculous men and women out there
No,
that
I
have
know. Where
particulars of
do you think those stem
shit like
from?
that. Probably their own parents and their parents'
Generationally.
parents and so on and so forth.
That
Yeah.
generational track. Yeah, I know. But don't you love that you can be in this day and age and be in a podcast chair and talk about these things? Because I can tell you, even 20 years ago, this shit, unless you were on Oprah, like,
Yeah, that
you
was the future of podcasts.
really was.
Yeah.
Well, not really, because back in, you go way back further, they were all, as families, after dinner or during dinner, crowded around a radio, listening to the radio program that was for Wednesday nights or.
Right.
That's why when you first came to me, I was like, wait a minute. Your generation is like gathering around your device, listening to just words and no pictures, no moving pictures.
Look at us now.
Right?
Yeah.
I
But
love
yeah.
that. I love that for us both because we have got no shortage of topics to, maneuver on Route 37 podcast. We'd love your podcast ideas. Is there anything that you would love to hear? Contact us.
Yeah, you can contact our email address for the podcast. You can contact us via our plant Insta or our podcast Insta, pretty much anything. We're pretty.
And on all my Facebook posts, I give our direct phone number. So if you ever want to be our guest, please feel free to utilize those digits and call us, because I think we're ready to
email. Since I would probably look into that, email or text would help, so we could have some sort of information on who, what, why, where.
Why do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
On that note, I think we have a customer rolling in, so we should do the closeout, Sonia.
We sure should. Well, great chat, as always, of randomness.
It is. I love it.
As always, stay curious.